We're going to continue on this morning as we study the scriptures today, and we'll be looking at a verse out of 2 Timothy. But just a moment to recognize everything that has happened in the last 10 days. We've seen a tremendous amount of change. For many of us, we're adapting to working from home, having the kids home from school, and just trying to figure out everything that's happening together. But one thing we know for sure is that through this whole concern and the crisis over the COVID-19 pandemic, we're all in this together. Every one of us is experiencing this, and there's great comfort in that. But how we respond to this crisis is what makes us different. And the scriptures are clear that Christians are to respond to a crisis like this differently than the world would. And so we're going to look at that Christian response to crisis. If you have your Bibles at home, go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. But the scriptures give us all kinds of guidance of how to respond to these unknown and difficult situations. And this is just one of those cases. But before we start, let's just define what crisis is. And crisis really is a time of intense danger, of difficulty, or uncertainty. And certainly that's what we're facing now. For many, at least a portion of our population, this virus does pose a heightened risk of danger for them. And difficulty in adjusting to this new style of life, albeit for a season, is very difficult for all of us. And uncertainty, because we just don't know how long this is going to last. And crisis can look different at different levels. This isn't the first crisis you've faced in life. Many of us have had crises before, and we'll have crises after this. But there's different levels of crisis we can face in our life. And the first is a personal crisis. And this can be played out in ways like losing a job or getting into a car accident or having some kind of health concern that turns your life upside down. We also have familial or family crises. And this can be a death in the family, unexpected, or finances becoming tight where there's prolonged worry and there's addictions that people face. There's regional crisis. These are things like natural disasters, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. It could be economic collapse for a country or conflict, war that can spread through regions and cause a crisis there. But there's a type of crisis that happens maybe once in a lifetime or not at all for many. And that is global crisis. That's what we're facing now, is where the whole world is concerned about the same thing, that there's great difficulty, danger, and uncertainty. While crisis might be every day for one person, it might be once in a life for another, but no matter what kind of crisis we are facing, there is one natural response that we all come to. And that is fear. Fear is the most natural human response to crisis. But as we're going to learn today, fear is not the response that God has for us. God has for us the ability to make a difference in crisis as he equips us with the gift of his Holy Spirit. And so today, as we think about this, fear is not of the Lord, but power, love, and self-control, as we read our scripture this morning. But as we get into that, just a little context of where this is. This is a letter written to Timothy from Paul. And Timothy was facing himself a personal crisis. He was put in charge of the church of Ephesus, and there's a lot of dysfunction in this church. There were false teachings. There were church splits. There was persecution from the Roman government. And in all of this, certainly Timothy was thinking, as many of us may think in that moment, that he's not cut out for it. He's one that was timid in spirit. And there is certainly this desire to give up and walk away in this time of crisis. That would be a reaction of fear. And wherever you are with this COVID-19 crisis, whatever fear might be coming over you, something like panic or worry or doubt, that's not what God has for you, as we read in our scripture today. That God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So we're going to take a look at those four parts of the verse today, each by themselves. Not of fear, but he gave us power and love and self-control. And so our first point is this: fear does not come from the Lord. Fear is the natural response, as we said, to crisis, but it is not of God. And certainly some of you are saying, well, I should be concerned about the issue, and you're right. But just note that fear and concern are separated by a very fine line, and it's often blurred, because both fear and concern have to do with situational awareness. And so the first step, as we think about fear and the reaction to crisis, is to know the difference between concern and fear. Now, there's the reaction of some to look at problems trivially and say that, well, if God is for me, nothing can be against me, so I'm not going to worry about anything. Well, we certainly need to show concern about situations, and that's recognizing the situation, understanding what is in your power to do, and trusting the Lord to do whatever you cannot. And as we become concerned with issues, we understand that there's a small margin of things that we can control, or that we have the ability to control, and a large amount of things we cannot control. Concern is knowing the difference between those two things. Now, fear, on the other hand, is obsessing over a situation and attempting or desiring to control it, and thereby allowing the situation to control you. Now, I saw the quote recently that fear is the false perception that we are in control. And the more we try to control things, the more things get out of control. Because it's in the reaction of fear that we quickly forget God's promises and who God is in the situation. We forget that he spoke the whole world into existence simply by saying, "Let there be." We forget that he knows us so personally, that he knit us together in the womb, that he can count the hairs on our heads, and that he knows exactly what we need before we even ask for it. It's in fear that we forget about the Lord. So sometimes we think that we are showing concern for an issue, but we're actually being swept up by fear over the issue. Know the difference between concern and fear. Concern is giving it to the Lord, and fear is taking it all for yourself. Fear not. Do not be afraid is one of the most frequent reminders and commands in the Bible. It's something that's written 365 times, which is amazing to think about, because it becomes our daily reminder to not be afraid, whatever we are facing. But there is one thing we are commanded to fear in the Bible: the Lord. We're only to fear the Lord. And this doesn't mean that we're afraid of God. This is often misunderstood. To fear the Lord is to recognize who God is, to have a healthy understanding of who he is and view him in reverence. Or in other words, it's to know that God is God and we are not. That God has all things under his control and he works all things together for our good, and that we are his children. Crisis is an opportunity for God to display his power. And where we see unknowns and uncertainties, God sees opportunities. Whatever we're facing, we know that we are not to be afraid, but only fear the Lord, as we understand who he is and what he's capable of. So today, I'm going to do something we normally wouldn't do in church. I'm going to encourage you to talk during the sermon. So if you're watching this with your family, or if you are on our Facebook group, or if you're on YouTube, go ahead and type in the comments, or just think to yourself, we're going to take a minute here. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to apply this to yourself. As you're facing this situation with COVID-19, ask yourself the question, or your family the question, what fears are you facing, and how can you trust them to the Lord? Just take a moment now, discuss among yourselves, or as I said, go ahead and type online in the comment section in Facebook or YouTube, but we'd love to hear from you. What fears are you facing, and how can you trust them to the Lord? Well, as we continue in the text, we see that God gives us the gift of power through the Holy Spirit when we face those difficulties and unknowns. And there's something about fear that can really paralyze us, that can cause us to shut down or to go into a place of hiding or retreat. A lot of us, when we become afraid, we just simply want to give up. But the Spirit of God gives us power and boldness. And this is the moment where, as Christians, we can take a look at our crisis, and despite all the unknowns and the difficulties, we take a deep breath and say, I can do this. We can do this. And where do I start? Now, power is simply the enablement to do what God requires us to do. Now, we're never asked to do anything beyond what God gives us the strength and the ability to accomplish. But whatever you are facing, God has given you the power to face whatever He has called you to do. We studied a couple weeks ago as we closed our Joyful Living series, which, by the way, was great timing considering what came after that series concluded. But when we think about living joyfully, it's Philippians 14 we studied that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Now, it doesn't mean we can do whatever we want through Christ who gives us strength, but we can do exactly what God has called us to do, and He'll give us the strength to do it. That's the power we're talking about here. And so sometimes it's hard to confuse that power with our own responsibilities, and we might approach something with arrogance and think we're invincible, but there has to be a good balance between prudence and faith the way we approach our crises. And so we can't have the attitude of, I'm a king's kid and nothing can touch me, and act irresponsibly. But we also can't act without faith and not step out in a way of boldness and confidence in the Lord. So we balance that prudence and that faith, that wisdom and that faith, to approach things head on with boldness. And that power that God gives us in the time of crisis is what helps us thrive while living in the unknowns. We see this in the example of Joshua. Now, there's a verse that many of us probably saw come our way, Joshua 1:9, in the last 10 days. And it's a very encouraging verse, but when we think about it in context, we understand that Joshua had a mountain of things ahead of him that were scary, that were unpredictable, and that he knew would be really difficult, not only for himself, but the whole nation of Israel. And Moses had passed away, and the leadership of Israel had been passed on to Joshua. And now he's going to be crossing over the Jordan River soon into the Promised Land as he takes the entire nation with him, facing many, many enemies. But the promise that was given to him here, and the commandment was from the Lord in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And this is the power and the courage we receive in a time of crisis as Christians, that we can be the ones leading the way, empowered with the strength of the Lord to face whatever may be coming our way. It's that boldness that we see great change in the world. And in China, the house churches are ones that have been targeted and persecuted for a long time. And it's been encouraging to see the stories in the last few weeks of how the church had come out of their homes and were part of communities and were looking for ways with boldness to help and to serve those around them. And now the perspective is changing of these house churches. Once what became a threat to the community, so they thought, now these churches are an asset. Why? Because they met this crisis with power and boldness. And they asked themselves, what is it that God has us to do, for us to do in this crisis? And that's the question I want you to wrestle with now as we pause again for a time of discussion or self-reflection. If you are to be a Christian of power or boldness in a time of crisis, what is God giving you the power to do right now? Take a moment, talk about that, and think about that, and we'll move on to the next point. On to the next point, we see that God gives us a spirit of love. Now, when you are driven by fear, it usually causes you to think only about yourself and your own safety. And we see people act in very selfish ways at times when they're driven by fear. We've seen that over the last week or two as people are emptying shelves at stores and hoarding supplies, some for the purposes of charging higher prices to make money in a time of crisis. But love, the love that God gives us, helps us to look to the needs of others, especially in times of crisis. And this becomes a way that Christians can respond and really change the world around them as we look to the needs of others. Now, the summation of all the Christian commandments is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Or in lesser words, love God and love others. And love is truly the distinguishing quality of Christians. And the type of love that we're called to is much deeper than what the world typically understands. It's seemingly unnatural, and it comes only as we allow God's Spirit to work in and through us. We're talking about sacrificial love, the deepest level of love. It's the love exemplified by Jesus as he came to the world not to be served, but to serve, to be a ransom for many, as he loved us so deeply he became our sacrifice for our sins. And this isn't because we were owed anything by Christ, but he did it because it's simply who he is. God is love. He's the ultimate example of sacrificial love. And for a Christian, if we've experienced that love, now we are called to show that love to others. As Jesus said in John 13, that he gives us a new command, that we are to love one another as he has loved us. We must love one another. So in a time of crisis, when it's natural to maybe be fearful and think only of yourself, God gives us the ability to love others sacrificially. And that means looking to the needs of others and being concerned for them more than yourself. Now, we made the decision at our church to cancel or suspend some things, and now we're working to keep as much going as possible while adapting it to the online format. It's important to note that we made all of these decisions prayerfully and carefully, but none of them were made out of fear, but out of love. We saw this as a way to love our neighbors and love each other as we look at your concerns and your safety. And that if we can suspend our meetings while it's inconvenient, certainly, it's a lot more work, certainly, but it keeps those safe around us. This is our way of loving our neighbor. And that's what Christian love is all about, in times of crisis especially, is looking to serve one another and love them sacrificially. And so now our response to crisis is not just to hole up and think about our own needs and hoard supplies for ourselves, but to reach out to your neighbors and to your communities and find out how it is you can be serving them and taking care of their needs. The Christian looks not to themselves, but to the interest of others and loves them sacrificially. So the question I want you to ask and think about is, how can you love your neighbors in the days ahead? Last point of the text this morning, it's important to remember that fear is a driving force in our society today. It's a currency in our media. We see it blasted around social media, and it's something that can sweep our country very quickly and take us into a place of panic and pandemonium. But in our last point, we see that the Spirit of God gives us self-control. Now, you might be thinking, self-control, that's what I use to limit myself to one plate at the buffet, but that's not the kind of self-control we're talking about here. Self-control is also translated as sound mind, and what that means is that God gives us clarity and wisdom in times of uncertainty. In other words, as the world is falling apart, we can think clearly with the wisdom and understanding that God can give us. What that means for us in a time of crisis, don't panic. And it's so important as Christians, because when we start panicking, we're exhibiting fear not only internally, but externally. But we should not panic. We should operate with sound mind. And there's many different ways we can panic in a time of crisis. We can get into the cycle of worry and wonder, what if this happens? And wonder, how long is this going to be? What are my finances going to look like? What does my job look like? Is my health safe during this time? And your mind can be clouded with worries, doubts, and anxieties, and you can no longer think clearly. But a sound mind means that there's a clarity in our mind that we can see with God's wisdom and understanding the situation before us. But panic has a way of making us do things we would never do normally. We see panic buys happening as people are buying out entire shelves of toilet paper and paper products, and we're still not sure why. But everyone else now wants to do it because panic creates panic. And we look back at our history and the stories of our Native Americans. One of the most important things to them was the buffalo or the bison. And it was such a strong and determined and resolute creature, it's hard for them to take a buffalo down, but what they would often do is create loud noises and come from different angles and put this animal to a place of panic where it'd run straight off of a cliff, something it wouldn't do with a sound mind. And as people, if we let ourselves come to a place of panic, we don't see situations clearly. But the Spirit of God gives us self-control or a sound mind. We can see the situation clearly. And so we think about where we are now. As we look at this whole situation with COVID-19 with a sound mind, we can start to reflect and count our blessings in a time like this and see, how is God working in this? We know that God never gives up, that there's no such thing as a crisis for God. And even in times like this, there's things that normally wouldn't be there for us. It's been a blessing for me to spend time with my family more than I would, as Manny's been working from home, many of you have been working from home. There's more time I've spent on the phone with my extended family as I check in with them. And there's things that are happening now that wouldn't normally be happening. So take time and ask yourself, how is God working in this? Be joyful and be thankful as you see God working through the situation. You also look at this with a clear mind and understand, this is just temporary. This crisis we're going through, I don't believe will be forever. I don't believe it'll be even for a number of years or to the end of the year, some are suggesting, but it may be a number of weeks. But no matter how long it lasts in our life, even if it's for the rest of our life, for the Christian, that still isn't forever. Because no matter what we face in this life, no matter what crisis we're in, that isn't forever for us. We look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For a church that's facing so much unknown and facing a crisis of persecution in their church, what we read is this, that for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. In other words, whatever you're facing now doesn't begin to compare to eternity. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's the gift for Christians. And that's how we can view any crisis with a clear mind and with self-control. Because whatever we're facing isn't forever. It's all temporary. We know that God is working together all things for his good. And God is working in special ways right now and in the days ahead. So the question I want you to ask yourselves is this. How have you seen God working through this crisis? And this might take some time to really pause and reflect and discuss. But how have you seen God working through this now? And take time to be thankful for that and be joyful that God never forgets you and God is working together all things for your good. Our message and our service today. First, I just want to take a moment to thank you all for being flexible and patient during this time, and also to thank our staff for the amazing work that they've been doing behind the scenes. To all of you, to Chris and Stephanie and Phil and Margaret, Patty, Kylie, and all of our leaders. There's just been so much happening this week to make this work. But I just want to encourage all of you, as we've studied today, that there is a great opportunity now for the church to respond to this crisis, not in fear, but in power, in love, and self-control. Because what we exemplify is our hope in the Lord. And what the world is looking for right now, more than ever, is hope. So let's just close this time, if you'd join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the amazing ways that you work even through the most difficult situations. And in this time and in the days and weeks ahead, we do pray for your protection. We pray for your safety, for all those who may be at risk. And we pray for wisdom and strength and endurance for all of those who have a hand in fighting this. But I just pray for us as Christians that we can be asking the question, what is it that I can do to be a part of the solution? How can we be loving others in a sacrificial way? And how can we keep a sound mind as we remember your great promises for us and see this perspective through an eternal lens? But we just pray now, Lord, that you be glorified, that we can be your hope and the light in this world. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.